On Friday, for those of you who were here, or for those of you who have been in church or are familiar with the things of the church, we saw that Jesus was delivered to the Roman governor Pilate, and Pilate delivered Jesus over to be crucified. And there on the cross, our Lord Jesus suffered. He was forsaken by God, and he breathed his last. The centurion, the Roman soldier at the cross, saw Jesus die right in front of him. Mark goes on in Mark chapter 15 from verse 42, and he reports that Pilate was actually quite surprised that Jesus died so quickly on the cross. Joseph of Arimathea, himself one of the chief priests, became a disciple of the Lord Jesus, and who took the courage to go and ask for the body of Jesus, which he then took from the cross and buried him in the tomb. You might remember we also made reference to some of the women that followed Jesus. They were also at the cross. They witnessed the burial of the Lord Jesus. Now I remember when I was a young boy, so I attended my grandfather's funeral. It was way back in 1983. I was only 8 years old. I can still recall seeing all the people at the cemetery grieving over the loss of my grandfather. Over the years, we would often go back and visit the grave of my grandfather. And Mom, probably more than anybody else, would visit Granddad's grave. As I got older, I remember that I was always struck when we visited his grave, especially after I became a Christian. I often thought about the resurrection at Granddad's grave. It kept impacting me. In the town of Hopetown, where he lies buried. Yet, I have never seen what Mary and the other Mary and Salome saw on the day that they went to visit Jesus' tomb. Granddad is still very much in the grave. So what is the story about Jesus' tomb? Children, can any of you tell me? What happened at Jesus' tomb? Do you know? Well, Jesus rose from the dead. True. But the women didn't know that who visited his tomb. That is the point. They didn't expect to find an empty tomb. In Mark chapter 16, verses 1 to 8, we are given the account of the woman who stood faithfully at the cross early on the Sunday morning. After Jesus' death, they were walking to the grave where Jesus was buried. They came there in order to anoint his body. And they were more concerned about how they would enter the grave because there was a big stone rolled in front of the entrance of the tomb. However, when they arrived there, you might know, they found that the stone was rolled away. And the tomb was empty. They were not expecting the resurrection. But that's exactly what they became witnesses of. Notice the surprise, but also the certainty of Jesus' resurrection. We read about that in Mark 15, verses 5 and particularly verse 6. We are told, "And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. So once inside the tomb, the women saw, we are told, a young man. He's dressed in white robes. It suggests this must have been an angel. In fact, according to the Gospel of Matthew, it is very clearly an angel. In Matthew 28, verses 2 to 4, we are told, "Behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord had descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. His countenance was like lightning and his clothes like white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him, and they became like dead men." The reaction of the woman is probably something that we would expect. When they saw the angel, they were filled with fear. But then the angel speaks reassuring words to them, saying to them, "Don't be alarmed. Don't be afraid." Now, angels in the Bible, we learn, they are constant witnesses of God's action. And the angel is here giving a word of reassurance, which is a common feature for them to do. And this word is also, at the same time, a revelatory word. He is risen. And then the angel invites the woman to have a look at the evidence of the empty tomb. The empty tomb, however, invites the question, what exactly happened to Jesus' body? Again, a revelatory word. From God, through the angel, to give an interpretation of what happened. He is risen. He is not here. Can you imagine how the woman would have felt hearing that? They had come to the tomb expecting a dead body. Instead, they hear these words, "He is risen. He is not here." But the interesting thing is that they shouldn't have been completely surprised. Because in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus on numerous occasions told his disciples that he was going to rise from the dead. In fact, three times in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, 9, and 10, Jesus explicitly told his followers that he will be crucified and on the third day he will rise again. Now, given this repetition from Jesus, isn't it odd that the disciples did not realize that Jesus had risen? Nobody expected him to rise. One would have thought that at least one of the disciples would have said on the Sunday, on the third day, "Hey, it is the third day. Well, maybe some of us need to go to the tomb and see what has happened." That would be quite a reasonable thing to do. But nobody thought about that. In fact, they didn't expect the resurrection at all. The angel at the empty tomb had to remind the women. Verse 7. "But go and tell the disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. You will see him there, just as he told you." If you have your Bible, just flip back to Mark chapter 14. Verses 27 and 28, which is the incident that the angel is referring to. Before Jesus' death, Jesus said to his disciples, "You will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." And then in verse 28, "But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Jesus told his disciples that he will be raised and he will meet them in Galilee after his resurrection. but they forgot about that. And the angel needed to remind them of this fact. Here is the point. The resurrection was inconceivable to the disciples. But it shouldn't have been. It is just as inconceivable as it is for many people today to believe in the resurrection. Don't you find that interesting? But regardless of what they expected, the resurrection happened. Jesus' grave was empty. He was not there. And the only adequate explanation for it is what the angel said to the woman on that first Sunday, Easter morning. He is risen. So do you realize that the testimony of the earth is the empty tomb, and the testimony from heaven is the angel sent by God to interpret what had happened to the Lord Jesus? To deny the resurrection is really to deny the reality of the historical empty tomb. And it is to deny the historical revelation that God has sent to earth through his angels who speak for him. Jesus is risen. The resurrection has really happened. But the evidence comes in a very surprising way. The disciples didn't go to the tomb on the first Sunday morning. The woman went, and they went with herbs to go and anoint Jesus' body. Neither the disciples nor the woman expected it to happen. It's almost like the story of the resurrection is, in a way, disadvantaging the Christian case. I don't know if it seems like that to you, but in fact, it is the opposite. It's like buying a used car. That's always a nerve-wracking thing to do. Well, for me, it has been. So you see a nice old car, and you think, well, okay, let me find out about this car. So you ask the seller, maybe it's a dealer, say, well, tell me about the car. Now, have you ever heard one tell you this, say, look, yeah, the car wasn't an accident. The front left door got hit. The car needs new brake pads, and it's got an oil leak, and it'll cost you about $1,000 to fix it all. Well, you will think, well, why are you telling me this? Are you telling me this to your own detriment? You think, well, because they've told you this, you feel even more drawn to what they've told you, and you buy the car. So, similarly, the woman and the disciples, they were so caught up in the reality of the resurrection of Jesus that they didn't expect it to happen, and they didn't understand the enormity of what had happened, but they became eyewitnesses of it. Clearly, it wasn't the invention of man. God had to be behind this, being a mighty act of God. At the time, they were not aware of the far-reaching implications, not just for them, but for all of humanity. Jesus is risen from the dead. So let us think about what that means. Firstly, what is the impact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I don't know if you realize that, but Christianity is not just a set of texts and doctrines that people believe. It is the unfolding of history. And it is founded on the historical events of Jesus' death and resurrection. Apparently, there has been many so-called messianic figures, movements in history, and some of them even during the time of Christ. But all of them collapsed. Their leaders died. In most cases, they were executed. And then everybody went home and that was it. It went no further. But this one, after the death of Christ, the faith did not collapse. It exploded. In the course of about 300 years, Christianity spread right across the whole Roman Empire. And since then and up until today, millions and millions of people follow the Lord Jesus. What made it explode? Well, the resurrection did. We saw that Jesus' followers initially were so, let's say, reluctant to believe, even dull of mind about the resurrection. But when they finally saw the resurrected Savior and He gave them His Holy Spirit, they were empowered. They were persuaded by its truth. And they started preaching it everywhere, even to the risk of their own lives. Secondly, we need to recognize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is miraculous. It is miraculous by virtue of what it is. Jesus died on the cross and He was brought back to life on the third day, overcoming death. That is miraculous. It is absolutely supernatural. There are no two ways about it. And it was also accompanied by other miraculous events. I've mentioned them to you. Attended by the angel. And there was an earthquake that preceded it on the Sunday morning of Jesus' resurrection. Now here's the thing, is we do not see people rise from the dead. I haven't seen my grandfather raised from the dead. From time to time, I take a walk to Pinneroo Cemetery. It's just very near to where we live. And when we go there, I specifically look at the graves. I've never seen any one of them empty. I've never heard anybody say that any of those tombs are empty, that have been filled with dead bodies. I don't know if you have. The idea of the resurrection from the dead is foreign to modern man. It is not natural. The average person doesn't expect it to happen. Just like the woman and the first disciples of the Lord Jesus. But it did. It happened just as predicted. Actually, the Bible tells us about resurrection occurrences of a number of people. You might know that. Shall I mention some of them to you? For example, the resurrection of the widow of Zarephath that God performed by the hand of the prophet Elijah. You can read about that, 1 Kings 17:17-22. And then there is the resurrection of the Shunammite woman's son by God through the hand of Elisha. You can read about that in 2 Kings 4:18-37. You might remember the better known case of Jesus raising Jairus' daughter, saying to her, Talita kumi, and she rose up from the dead. Mark chapter 5 verse 41. I find this one very moving. It was the widow of the town of Nain, and they were busy burying her son. And Jesus raised him from the dead. Luke chapter 7, verse 14. Then, of course, the famous resurrection account of Jesus raising his good friend, Lazarus, from the dead in John chapter 11. Over this Easter time, you may have picked up in some of the scripture readings that when Jesus breathed his last on the cross, that many unmentioned, unnamed believers rose from the dead at the time that Jesus died. You can read about that in Matthew chapter 27, verse 52 and verse 53. There are numerous resurrection accounts in God's Word. They are all miraculous. But Jesus' resurrection was unique above them all. Because Jesus rose from the dead never to die again. The Apostle Paul clearly states that in Romans 6 verse 9, saying, we know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Plain and clear. Death has no dominion over him. Christ's body was raised incorruptible and undefiled, unlike any of the other preceding cases of resurrection. Jesus' resurrection was miraculous and unique. But what is interesting about Jesus' resurrection is that it will produce the resurrection of believers in the future. Neil read to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, mentioning there in verse 20 that Jesus is the first fruits of those who will be raised to eternal life. Listen to how the Apostle Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 to 22. He says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam we all die, even so in Christ we shall all be made alive. The idea of first fruits, it means guarantee that there will be more fruit to come. So, if one has a tomato plant, and you notice the very first tomato appearing, it's first green, and then it goes yellow, and then it's red. And what do? Then we pick the tomato. But what we don't do is stop watering the plant, because we know more fruit will be coming. That's the implication of Jesus' resurrection for believers. The fact that Jesus was raised from the dead means that believers will be raised. Jesus' resurrection guarantees the resurrection of every believer in Christ. I don't know about you, but this ought to greatly encourage us, especially as we get older, especially as we struggle with frailties of life, when we get sick, when we have a disease, when our time is near, especially when we struggle with sin. Jesus' resurrection guarantees the eternal resurrection of every believer. But thirdly, I don't know if you'll agree with me, the reality of Jesus' death and his resurrection is meant to impact our lives daily. What is the point of believing in the resurrection as something that is miraculous out there, but we dissociate with it? And what does it help us if we think about the resurrection only as something futuristic and only in an intellectual way? If we do that, we have become dull. And if we are become too earthly minded, we will struggle with the resurrection, because we will be taken up by the here and the now. It'll consume our lives. It's one of the battles that we struggle against. And then forgetting the significance of our Savior's resurrection. Even forgetting that our Savior is not dead, but alive. Do you realize that it is because of the resurrection of Jesus that Jesus overcame death? Jesus defeated death for every believer. The Apostle Paul, Peter, in Acts chapter 2 says very clearly in verse 24 that death could not hold Jesus. And in 1 Corinthians 15 he says that death is swallowed up in victory through Jesus Christ. The power of sin is death. What a formidable power. But Jesus paid the penalty for sin, which is death on the cross. There's nothing left to pay. Christ's work on behalf of every believer is finished. Jesus has overcome death. He has the key of death. That ought to make a difference for every living human being. Further, dear follower of Christ, do you realize that because of the resurrection of your Savior, you have received the Holy Spirit from Him? Listen to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last man, Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, the Apostle Paul is telling us, it enabled Him to give the Holy Spirit to believers. Dear believer, do you realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ, because of that, that His resurrection means that you are justified before God? Romans 4, verse 24 and 25. The Apostle Paul says, it will be counted to us who believe in Him who raised from the dead our Lord Jesus, who was delivered up for our trespasses, and listen to this, and raised for our justification. It's like we are all prisoners and we are being released from prison. And the resurrection of Jesus Christ performs that release, so that what the law requires from us for imprisonment has been paid for. And therefore, as Jesus lived, we can live in freedom, being justified before God. And finally, do you realize that the resurrection of Jesus Christ confirms that Jesus on the cross and His work has been accepted by God to accomplish salvation for sinners? Romans 1 verse 4, the gospel of God, the Apostle Paul says, concerning His Son, was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Holy Spirit by His resurrection from the dead, the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Father declared Jesus Christ to be His Son at the resurrection. And in doing so, demonstrating that He's accepted the work of Christ on our behalf. If you're an unbeliever today, do you sometimes wonder about what will happen to you? Do you wonder about what will happen when you die one day? I often think about death. Do you? I know it's not pleasant to think about it. But listen to what God's Word tells you to do. Romans chapter 9, and rather verse 10 and verse 9. Chapter 10, verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that clear as it is wonderful? Believe in your heart that God raised up the Lord Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. So confess him in your heart. Let's just close with two points of application. The first is the reality of the resurrection was something that affected the everyday lives of early believers. They lived in light of the resurrection. Take, for example, the Apostle Peter. He testifies in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, and Anil actually read this passage for us at the call to worship, where Peter testifies the following. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance imperishable, undefiled, unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by the power of God are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. The resurrection had a big impact on the Apostle Peter's life. And this is quite significant. Why? Because Peter almost failed in his faith. You might remember that the Apostle Peter denied the Lord three times before Jesus' crucifixion, and he said he wouldn't do it. Coming back to Mark chapter 16 and Jesus' resurrection, did you notice the instruction that the angel gave to the women in verse 7? He said to them, go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is risen. And he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Peter is singled out by the angel. Why? Because he denied the Lord Jesus. He backslid from the faith. Look at the grace of God. Go and tell Peter, I am risen, and I will see him. What reassurance this is to somebody of the likes of Peter. Jesus had forgiven him and restored him. So let me say this to you. Dear believer, dear backslider, even if you are an unbeliever this morning, know this, that the Lord Jesus doesn't forget his believing people. He's not cold towards them when they get cold towards him. He pities us in our infirmities. He doesn't despise us. Children, Jesus doesn't despise you. He knows our weaknesses. Yet he doesn't reject us. Therefore, be encouraged. Christ Jesus is your living hope, as much as he's my living hope. The resurrection assures us of that. The early believers lived in light of the resurrection. They factored it in to their daily lives. If you are struggling to do that, what advice is there for you? Nurture your relationship with the once crucified but now risen Lord Jesus. Feel it. Pursue Jesus in love and set your affections on him. Remember, we do not easily forget the things that we love. Love him, and you will find it far easier to live in light of the resurrection. May the Lord help us, each one, that we might do exactly that.